Hello. Good morning. Today, I'm agonizing with you. With us. With almost the whole of society. I wake up each morning, and to my astonishment, I'm still addicted to listening or watching the news, while still in the process of waking up. I say to my astonishment, because I know that I'm going to hear or see bad things, usually even highlighted, embellished, and spread over the newscast, leaving such small space for any good news. And these are usually buried among all else. I shall try to be a bit cheerful, because I do not wish to spread the gloom further. But before I do so, I need to express some of my feelings as to what's going on in the world around us. We know that Syria is in a mess, and has been so for the past 7 years. We know that the Yemen is starving, and has been so for the past 3 to 4 years. We know that Libya is anarchic, and has been so since the overthrow of Gaddafi and his subsequent humiliating assassination. We know that the people of Venezuela are only able to scramble for a morsel of food because the supermarket shelves are empty, and anyway, they cannot afford to buy much of it at all. All this we know. But this is over there, in some remote part of the world, and we are over here, so close up to everything around us. So in theory, we can allow ourselves to be smug and say, let them. This is their mess. Let them sleep in the bed they made for themselves. But sadly, we cannot say that, because we are hearing almost on a daily basis some knife murder or gun massacre. Yes, the latter is more in the States, but we have our share to a certain extent. What makes me even more sad is what the venerable President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, says, suggesting as a cure to the gun crimes in schools, he thinks that school teachers should carry guns to deter anyone from thinking they can get away with it. Well, my first thought was, when I heard this suggestion, was, what a bonanza that is for the gun traders. They will sell a few hundred thousand more guns. Not a bad deal, Mr. Trump. Thank you, Mr. President. When we come closer, and to our scene in the United Kingdom, and particularly London, we are starkly aware of the knife crimes, gang feuds, and other forms of crime that make our police work harder and harder, in spite of their finite resources, both of manpower and money. The statistics for London are not encouraging, because there appears to be an increase in the incidence of such crimes. It's not much better in other metropolitan places, such as Manchester. That seems to be the ever-present diet of the news these days. And what I'm about to say is that it is not the gun or the knife that kills, it's the person or people who wield them who kill. An ethos seems to have developed that makes carrying a knife or a gun a symbol of being grown up. The police are good at picking up many cases before they do any harm, and such activity as the stop and search, done judiciously and preferably with prior intelligence, the police can find many people going about with knives that are illegal as regards the size, length, and so on. We thank the police for that. But the answer certainly must lie somewhere else. It must lie within us, within our family upbringing, within the morals and ethics we are fed from our youngest ages. They do not need to be elaborate or complicated. They can just be to tell our youngsters that killing means taking the life of someone else. That killing can lead to more killing, and at the end, nobody wins. It's a simple message. The government is so keen to popularize that they are issuing guidance to schools to consider their RE lessons and curriculum to be also one of morals, ethics, and social and psychological well-being. This is very encouraging. And indeed, this is the message I wish to convey, that we can do it. We can change our society. And the government is lending us a helping hand. We can recall the message of Jesus Christ, that he came to give us life, not death. His whole life was to demonstrate compassion, not aggression. We can listen to the Quran when it tells us that God, in God's eyes, the killing of one person is like the killing of the whole of humanity. We can think of the Far Eastern religions, some of which would not allow themselves to kill an insect, let alone a higher form of life. These are not theoretical principles too sublime to implement. These are the practical application of the principle of not doing to others what we do not want to be done to us, the very golden law from time immemorial. So, on an optimistic note, I end this talk by reminding ourselves of the prophecies in the Old and the New Testaments, that when the time is near, these things will fold up, and in their place will be land of peace and happiness. And I certainly feel that we are living in the last gasps of a world bred on enmity and aggression, and the next gasp will be those of wonderment and joy, when the world appreciates that it is tired of the unnecessary and unwanted world of strife and tears. As Baha'u'llah tells us, we are here to create a world in which the suffering of people is diminished and the nobility of people is enhanced. Our work is to recreate society with principles of justice and oneness. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.